Greetings from the chapel in our home at Bishop's Court. It's great to be with you by video. We've just had a great conference with clergy and authorised lay ministers from across the diocese as part of a wider season of discernment. The scripture at the heart of this season is Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Let me read it to you. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I think this passage is a passage for us in this moment. Let me just frame that a little. Matthew tells us that Jesus went through all the towns and villages. He's not distant from the life of the people. He's among them, in the places where they live and worship and work and suffer and hope. He teaches, proclaims the good news of the kingdom, and heals. His words and actions belong together. They are signs that in Jesus, God's kingdom is arriving. The mercy, forgiveness, justice, and healing of God coming near. As Matthew's gospel unfolds, we discover that this kingdom comes through the self-giving love of Jesus, through the cross and resurrection. The mission of the church begins there, with Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and Lord. And we receive our mission from him. Then Matthew tells us what Jesus sees. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. It's quite possible to look at a crowd and see only pressure, demands, and something too big for us to cope with. Jesus sees people. He sees them completely and lovingly. Matthew says they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That image of the shepherd takes us deep into the scriptures. Shepherds were meant to protect, guide, feed, and care for the sheep. And when the shepherds failed, the sheep were scattered and vulnerable. The prophets in the Old Testament used this image as they spoke of God himself coming to shepherd his people. And more negatively, of the kings and priests who failed in their duty to look after the people under their care. So when Jesus uses this image, drawing from all of the riches of this image in the scriptures, he is showing us something of who he is. Jesus is the true shepherd. He is the king who comes with compassion, the one in whom God has come to gather, heal, and restore his people. We need to hear that before we rush into doing things. The first thing Jesus does here is see them and have compassion on them. So if we are to be faithful as the church in Melbourne and Geelong, we need to ask him to help us see. And there's a lot to see. New communities are forming in growth corridors such as Kalakalo, Donnybrook, Melton, Tarniet, Clyde and Armstrong Creek. Established suburbs are changing around churches that have stood there for generations. Geelong has its own life, pressures and possibilities. The global media and hospitality brand Time Out said that Melbourne was the best city in the world, based on food, arts and culture, nightlife, diversity and happiness. Melbourne is creative, diverse, thoughtful and often deeply concerned for justice, dignity and the common good. But there's also a deep pressure. Housing, cost of living, mental health, loneliness, belonging, trust and hope. And of course, these things are not simply outside the church. They're among us as well. Christians carry these burdens too. Jesus sees the person who has drifted from faith and is not sure how to return. He sees the young person wondering what kind of future there is. He sees the family trying to hold things together. And he sees our churches too. The faithfulness, the prayer and the love that has endured for over many years. But also the weariness, the stretched leaders, the gifts not yet called out, and the places where hope needs to be renewed. He sees us with compassion. And that is where this passage begins. Not with guilt, not with panic, but with the compassion of Christ. Then Jesus says something extraordinary. The harvest is plentiful. I think that is a word we need to hear. So much of the time we look down. We are weighed down by the burdens of life and ministry. We see the difficulties, the gaps, the things that we do not have. And Jesus says, look up. The harvest is plentiful. Some of our rural parishes have much to teach us about harvests. In Scripture, harvest speaks of God's action, God's timing, God's gathering what belongs to him. Jesus is not asking his disciples to manufacture the harvest by their own energy. It is God's harvest. And that changes how we look at the world. We're not being sent into a world where God is absent. We're being sent into a world that God made, that God loves, and in which the Spirit is already at work. There are people in Melbourne and Geelong ready to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. They may not use our language. They may not come near church easily. Some will carry real suspicion of institutions. Others have been hurt, sometimes for very understandable reasons. But there are people searching for hope, forgiveness, belonging, purpose, peace, and healing. We may not always see it, but Jesus sees it. And at the center of this harvest is Jesus himself. He is the Lord of the harvest. Our hope is not that people become a little more religious. Our hope is that people encounter Christ, discover in him the mercy of God, the forgiveness of sins, the healing of the human heart, his lordship in every part of their lives, and the beginning of God's new creation. So yes, the needs are great, and yes, the pressures are real, but the harvest is plentiful. This is a word of faith. Jesus then names the other reality. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Jesus does not pretend the need is small or that the disciples already have all the capacity they need. He names the gap. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And we know that gap, don't we? We know it in parishes where clergy and lay leaders are carrying a great deal, where the same faithful people do many things, and where local communities are growing faster than visible Christian presence. If you've been around church for any length of time, you will know the sentence, if only we had a few more people, a few more leaders, a few more workers. And Jesus knows that reality. He names it, but he does not need to name it to shame his disciples. It's not a blame thing. It's a faith thing. Because the gap between the harvest and the workers is the place where Jesus teaches us to pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest. So here's the thing. The first response Jesus gives is not a technique or to work harder. He says, ask, pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. It's not a soft option. Prayer is where the church learns dependence on God, where our hearts are aligned with the compassion of Christ, and where we learn again to say, Lord, show us what you're doing and let us join in. We look not to our own resources, but to the abundance of God's resources. The harvest is God's harvest before it's our work. And if we read on into Matthew chapter 10, there's a surprise. Jesus tells the disciples to pray for workers, and then he calls the 12 and sends them out. The people told to pray become part of the answer to their own prayer. We pray for workers, and he asks us to be ready to be sent. Not all in the same way, not all in the same role, not all to the same task, but all of us are caught up in the mission of God. Tomorrow, the 20th of July, is the World Cup final. It has been a massive competition. But think about what's going on. On a football field, 22 people desperately in need of rest are being watched by 2 billion people desperately in need of exercise. The church is not a small number of people doing ministry while everyone else watches. The church is the body of Christ. Every member has gifts. Every disciple has a calling. Every Christian life is drawn into that prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven, in Melbourne and Geelong as it is in heaven. And most of that calling is lived in the ordinary places of the week. Homes, workplaces, schools, hospitals, neighbourhoods, places of care and places of pressure. That is where much of the harvest is. So the prayer becomes personal. Lord, what is my part? What is our part? What is the next faithful step? I want to say this carefully because many people are tired. This is not about adding one more burden to already full lives. It is about returning to Jesus and asking what faithfulness looks like now. It's about asking Jesus for more workers, for one more person, the next faithful step may be hidden. Praying for a neighbour, returning to scripture, offering hospitality, or encouraging someone younger in faith. For another, it might be more public, serving, leading, being trained, or exploring a vocation. For a parish, it may be deepening prayer, strengthening welcome, looking again at children and young people, or asking who is not yet being reached locally. It will not look the same everywhere. A parish in a growth corridor and a parish in an established suburb will face different questions. So will a small inherited church, a large parish, a school-linked ministry, a chaplaincy, a culturally shaped congregation, and a weary community recovering hope. The point is not uniformity. The point is obedience. Are we listening to Jesus where we are? Are we seeing the people around us with his compassion? Are we praying the prayer he gave us? Are we willing to be sent? And we're in this together. This does not depend on one person or only on clergy or only on the churches that are already feeling confident. God calls the whole church to be a living witness to Jesus Christ with the gifts of different traditions, cultures, generations, and local communities. And I think this is one of the things the harvest does for us. When we only look at one another, our differences become problems. But when we face outwards towards Jesus and his mission, when we look together at the harvest, we begin to find ourselves standing shoulder to shoulder, not pretending there are no differences, but remembering that Christ is the Lord of the harvest. So today I want to invite us to pray, to ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers, to ask him to renew his church, to ask him to give us the compassion of Christ for Melbourne and Geelong. And as we pray, to make ourselves available to him. Here I am, Lord. Show me my part. Show us our next faithful step. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. This is the word of Jesus to his disciples. I believe it is also a word for us in this moment in Melbourne and Geelong. May God give us the eyes of Christ. May he renew us by his Holy Spirit. May he raise up workers for the harvest. And may he send us with faith and courage into the places and communities he loves. Let us pray. Lord of the harvest, thank you for the compassion of Jesus, who sees the crowds, knows their need, and gives himself for the life of the world. Teach us to see Melbourne and Geelong with his eyes. Renew your church by your Holy Spirit. Raise up workers for your harvest. Show each of us our part. Show each church its next faithful step. And send us in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.